I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that the life of grace is limitless, and God's love continues to pour over us without measure. The bad news is we are still somehow, in some ways, limited. It's a contradiction. But our life, and especially a life of faith, is filled with contradictions. And our readings today support that in a lot of ways. We're told in that whole list of contradictions in the gospel, where Jesus is, this is probably a collection of his varied sayings, at least at this time when they kind of pile them together in the gospel of Matthew, they're kind of all on the same theme, okay? So we're told, if you want to save your life, well then just learn how to lose it. But if you want to lose your life, then just try to hang on to it. It's a paradox. It's a contradiction. It's kind of like saying again to us, if we want to give ourselves away, we're going to wind up with everything. But the more we want to hold on to ourselves, the less life we're going to have. Jesus is going and kind of hitting people with that whole business about, you know, who's worthy. And he basically says, well, none of us is worthy if we're not going to follow God with the most love. And so he attacks the most basic family relationship we have, not because he doesn't believe in the family, I don't think, but because he's trying to make a point. He's trying to push us beyond the way we're fond of thinking. He says, well, if you love father or mother more than you do me, then you're not worthy to follow me. If you love son or daughter more than you love me, you're not worthy to follow me. And we had a baptism this morning. And I chuckled because I said, you know, who's going to give that language to you? Who's going to give that language to any parent and have the parent not go, what do you mean? How can I love anybody or anything more than I love this? But what Jesus is saying is our relationship with God is even more. It's even more than all those family relationships that we hold dear. And he's not telling us not to hold them dear, but what he's saying is that our relationship with God has to transcend it all. And then he reminds us that, you know, whoever won't pick up their own cross and follow in the Lord's footsteps can't follow God. We're not worthy of the relationship if we're not willing to do that. That whole second reading was the reminder that basically says, not only are we baptized into the Lord's life, like we did with that little one this morning when we baptized her, but we're baptized also into his death. We're baptized into the cross and the resurrection, not just the resurrection, but the cross and the resurrection. And which one of us doesn't know that the cross isn't painful, but that the joy is also painful? It's like I once preached to some of my friends who'd lost their child, you know, like within the month before she was supposed to be born. Would you have rather not had her at all? How do you do that? It's difficult. Would you have rather not had her at all? And the answer, of course, is no. So the grace comes in abundance, but sometimes we still have pain even in the midst of all the grace. And our readings certainly show us that today. That whole first reading about the prophet, you know, Elisha, it's one of those moments where, you know, this woman just formed this relationship with the prophet because she thought he needed a little help and a little love in life. And so she says, well, I'm just going to offer you some hospitality. When you come through here, I got a spot on the roof for you. I made a little room up there for you. You'll be good. And he's so moved by that because, let's face it, the life of a prophet is nothing but trouble. He's so moved by it, he says, what can I do for you? And the servant says, well, you know, she doesn't have a son. And so he says, and this year, next year, when I come through here, you will have a baby. You'll have that little one in your lap. But the story doesn't end there. Because if you read the whole thing, and I'm going to tell you this story, so I guess you don't have to go read it. But if you read the whole thing, later on, this son that she's been given suddenly dies. But even in the midst of all that sorrow, she knows that the prophet can still help her. And in this particular instance, the story goes, Elisha brings the young man even back to life again. In our stories, in our literature, of course, what do we call it? We call it a foreshadowing. A foreshadowing that we look at in Jesus, where again, think back to those early disciples. When they saw him killed, they thought the whole dream was dead. But again, grace continued to flow into their lives because it wasn't ended, it wasn't dead. Jesus came to life again. And we're here to tell that story 2,000 years later. Couldn't have been the way they imagined it. Didn't know they were going to ever have the relationship with him. Thought it was all gone. And then wound up experiencing it in a way that they never again could have imagined. They had to learn how to live with the paradoxes. They had to learn how to live with the contradictions. And isn't that really what a life of faith is about? Is living with all those contradictions, living with all that mess that somehow mostly only makes sense to us when we look in the rearview mirror. It rarely makes sense to us when we're going through it face first. But when we look back, we say, look, look where God was the whole time. That's that life of faith, learning to live with the contradictions. We've got to continue in this day and age to be a sign of those contradictions in the world. The world wants to hang on to everything. The one who dies with the most toys wins. But in our contradiction, not that we don't like our comfort, but from time to time, can we say that we know that there's something more beyond this world? There's more to, than flesh and bone and blood and riches. Can we be that sign of the contradiction to the world? And some days it's kind of hard when you worship in a place like this. But can we be that sign in the world by what we do and how we live our lives? Can we be that sign in the world in the midst of all this craziness when people want to fight over whether we're going to wear masks or not, and people are doing stupid things in the grocery stores and intentionally coughing on each other if somebody is wearing a mask? I mean, it's craziness. But can we still turn the other cheek and live that sign of the contradiction that basically says, I'm going to love you anyway, even though you're driving me crazy? And that's hard to do some days, to live that contradiction, to live that, and learning how to let go in such a way, knowing that it's going to bring us more life. The craziness with all the stuff and all the conversations that we're having about how to treat each other in the world. And again, fighting over phrases when really we've got to be the sign of the contradiction that basically says we can learn how to love everybody. Even the people who chant nasty things in opposition to sometimes our chanting the good things. How do we do that? And it's hard. It's hard. Because what we really want to do is fire back. And how do we return even evil with love? How do we do that? Oh, and that whole thing about, well, you know, you show me a perfect person, I'll listen to them. Well, I got news for you. I am not a perfect person, but I still think I got some pretty good advice from time to time. Don't do it the way I do it. Do it better. Do it better. Because as one of my friends once said, when somebody said, well, I joined the Catholic Church, but it's just full of hypocrites. And I'm like, he said, come and join us. There's room for everybody. Of course we're hypocrites. None of us do it the way we're supposed to. None of us do it the way that Jesus lays it out for us. It doesn't mean that we don't try. It doesn't mean that we give up and let this world continue to shout hate when really what Jesus is wanting us to do is more about love. If we're going to be people of faith, we're going to have to live with the contradictions. We're going to have to learn to live with the challenges that gives us in life. I looked at Audrey and Alan this morning and I said, and you're going to dare to challenge and raise your daughter in this faith. Good luck. Good luck. A life of faith is not an easy life. And that's because even though grace is boundless and endless, we still suffer. There's the cross and the resurrection. Not just the resurrection. And again, Jesus pushes us. Unless we're willing to pick up our cross and follow in the Lord's footsteps, then we're probably not worthy of our God.